Om Ajnana Timurandasya. I'd like to read a verse from chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita. This is text number 24. I'll just read the Sanskrit. Sanischayena yuktavyo yoga nirvinachetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamangs chaktva sarvam maseshata manasaivendriya gramam viniyamya samantata. Translation: Lord Krishna said, one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith, and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. Purport: the yoga practitioner should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. One should be sure of success at the end and pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there's any delay in the attainment of success. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Regarding Bhakti Yoga, Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan nischayad daryat tat tat karma pravartanat sanga tyagat sato vrite shadbir bhakti prasidhyati. One can execute the process of bhakti yoga successfully with full-hearted enthusiasm, perseverance, and determination by following the prescribed duties in the association of devotees, and by engaging completely in activities of goodness. Upadesamrita, text 3. As for determination, one should follow the example of the sparrow who lost her eggs in the waves of the ocean. A sparrow laid her eggs on the shore of the ocean, but the big ocean carried away the eggs on its waves. The sparrow became very upset and asked the ocean to return her eggs. The ocean did not even consider her appeal. So the sparrow decided to dry up the ocean. She began to pick out the water in her small beak, and everyone laughed at her for her impossible determination. The news of her activities spread, and at last Garuda, the gigantic bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, heard it. He became compassionate towards his small sister bird, and so he came to see the sparrow. Garuda was very pleased by the determination of the small sparrow, and he promised to help. Thus Garuda at once asked the ocean to return her eggs, lest he himself take up the work of the sparrow. The ocean was frightened at this and returned the eggs. Thus the sparrow became happy by the grace of Garuda. Similarly, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga in Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job. But if anyone follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help, for God helps those who help themselves. Again, the translation. Lord Krishna said, one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith, and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon, without exception, all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. This chapter is entitled Dhyana Yoga. Specifically, Lord Krishna is describing the process of retiring to the forest and meditating on the Lord in the heart in this chapter. And as we know, Arjuna, after hearing this instruction, declares to Krishna that he finds it too difficult to practice this process. Arjuna, of course, was a Kshatriya, a very active person, and ultimately, of course, Krishna advises him rather to work hard in executing his duty and do it in a spirit of loving devotion to the Lord. So even though this particular practice is not so applicable for Arjuna or for ourselves, for that matter, nevertheless, many aspects of the instructions that Krishna gives here are also applicable to the Bhakti Yoga process. So we can apply the instructions in this verse exactly to the process of Krishna consciousness that we are following today. Krishna states that one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. There are so many distractions in Kali Yuga, especially in a big city such as Mumbai. One just has to go out into the street and one's senses are bombarded with so many advertisements, so many glittering shop windows. Yesterday, for the first time in India, I saw a huge Western-style shopping mall. Well, I've seen shopping malls in India, in Patna and various cities, but they're generally quite substandard compared to the Western shopping mall. But yesterday I actually saw one from the car that looked, you know, just like a Western shopping mall. And of course, Western shopping malls are full of so many allurements. Buy this and buy that and do this and do that. And this way you can gratify your senses and achieve happiness in life. So this kind of pressure is on everyone in the Kali Yuga, not only in the street, but most people have imported it right into their homes, having the one-eyed guru there in the central position. That is a television set or video screen, DVDs, VCDs, all these things, satellite television. So many different channels are available nowadays in India. I don't know how many. Hundreds, perhaps. And all the while, to maintain all of this, it requires a lot of hard work, earning a lot of money. So in this way, people have no time for spiritual practice And generally they don't have any knowledge either. Even in India, which is the home of so much spiritual knowledge, nevertheless, the majority of people are confused. They identify themselves as Hindu, but generally they don't have a clear understanding of the message of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Although most people will observe the Janmashtami festival, they respect Lord Krishna, they'll show respect to his deity in the temple, but nevertheless they don't understand properly how to execute his instructions in their own lives, how to develop their Krishna consciousness and their devotion to him. So it's a difficult time for spiritual practice all over the world. The population is becoming more and more degraded. Sinful activities are the norm in most countries. And a devotee of the Lord, a genuine devotee of the Lord, is very rare. Krishna himself says, Manushyanam sahasrishu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam viti tatvata. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who endeavor for perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Sa mahatma sudurlabha. Such a great soul is very, very, very rare. But still, the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to spread Krishna consciousness widely throughout India and throughout the world, to create millions of such mahatmas. So how is that to be done? Lord Chaitanya has shown us the way simply by congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So we're very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada went to the West and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and also brought many of his disciples to India to expand the Krishna consciousness movement, and he was successful in all his endeavors, translated so many books, wrote wonderful commentaries, and had them published and distributed profusely in so many languages of the world. So Srila Prabhupada showed this kind of unflinching determination in his execution of Krishna consciousness. Of course, in his personal practice of sadhana, he was impeccable, always rising early, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping his deities. But the special ingredient of Srila Prabhupada's life was similar to his own Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in that he had unlimited compassion for the ignorant masses, and strongly desired to give them Krishna consciousness. He was fully convinced of the need for this for the benefit of the whole world and also for his own benefit. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that in his final letter to Srila Prabhupada, In 1936, shortly before his spiritual master's departure, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that I am a grihastha and I have many family duties, so I cannot serve you as intimately as my sannyasi and brahmachari godbrothers. But please tell me how I can serve you. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote back that you should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world in the English language. This will be beneficial for you and it will be beneficial for others also. So preaching Krishna consciousness then is so important to counteract the influence of Kali Yuga and give as many people as possible the opportunity for spiritual upliftment, and it's also an essential ingredient of our own spiritual practices. It will help us to remain fixed in Krishna consciousness if we engage in preaching activity, book distribution, Harinam, Sankirtan, public programs, or helping to support all these activities. There are so many different kinds of devotees with different propensities, but we can use our abilities, everyone, in the service of the Sankirtan movement. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that to serve Krishna in Kali Yuga means to serve the Sankirtan movement. To do something practical to help the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So we should always remember this point and take encouragement from the example of Srila Prabhupada, who showed so much firm determination in his preaching activities. He started out alone, and although people in India, where he was preaching, for example, in Jhansi, in Madhya Pradesh, showed some inclination, sympathy, nevertheless, they didn't seriously take up the practice of Krishna consciousness or seriously help Srila Prabhupada in his preaching activities. But still he persevered. When he was living in Vrindavan and Delhi, he had to face so many difficulties. He had very little money. He used to walk to the printers instead of taking a rickshaw to save a few rupees to invest in the printing. He would also go out himself in the streets and to the cafes distributing his magazines back to Godhead in the hot sun. And very little assistance came. But still he persevered for many, many, many years. Somehow he got the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam published. He met the then Prime Minister, Lal Bahadur Shastri, and presented him copies of the Bhagavatam and got recommendation from him to place the Bhagavatams in the government libraries. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, he was the original library party distributor. In the 70s, I had the good fortune, actually, when I came to India, I came here to Mumbai. Prabhupada, he he asked for Commonwealth citizens to come here because the government was not giving long-term visas for the American devotees. Prabhupada was not very happy that he was spreading Krishna consciousness and Indian culture all over the world, but government was not giving visas sufficiently. Even the question was raised in Parliament that perhaps the ISKCON is financed by the CIA. Prabhupada was very troubled by that. Actually, I remember, even it was the next year, I think. I came in 75, but in 76, this was published in a tabloid, Indian tabloid called Blitz. I don't know if it still exists here in this country. Blitz, it's you know, that type of newspaper that publishes all kinds of scandalous things. So it was publishing that ISKCON is financed by the CIA. The Prabhupada was very angry. And he wanted to counteract that bad propaganda by any means. Whenever there was a favorable newspaper article, Prabhupada would say, send it to the editor of Blitz. He said, you know, I am Bhaktivedanta Swami. I have translated so many books, and we are selling so many lakhs of books every day and earning, you know, so much money and spending here in India. We're selling these books all over the world. He said, it's my business. Ventilate this in the press. Inform everyone about this. Anyhow, Prabhupada had asked that Commonwealth citizens come to India because we didn't need visas in those days. From UK or Ireland or Australia, any Commonwealth country, we could come here, just stamp in the passport, stay the whole life practically. So I was told by my GBC, you go to India and help. So I came here in November of 1975 and came to Hare Krishna land. Srila Prabhupada was there, and his secretary asked me to go and see him. And then I came in, offered my obeisances, and Prabhupada said, so you have come to India. Who is managing in London? I told him, you know, I was the president before, so he was asking me who's managing now, and I told him. So he said, now you stay here, manage this temple. So it was a shock for me to be given such a service so suddenly by Srila Prabhupada. Giriraj Maharaj was the president of the temple, but the temple was under construction at the time, and he was very expert in raising donations from wealthy people, and so Prabhupada wanted him to concentrate on that service. He also had to go to other countries to meet wealthy Hindus and raise donations. So in that way, he wanted someone else to manage the temple. I found it to be quite difficult service at first. I was not used to living in India. First thing Prabhupada told me to do is make an inventory of everything here on Hare Krishna land. I had to count all the tables, all the chairs, all the almirahs, all the fans, all the plates, spoons, whatever we had, marking some number, you know, on the tables and chairs and almirahs, and like you see in so many offices. And often had to come to the church gate on the train from Santa Cruz or Villaparla and sit in the office of the lawyer or the accountant for hours, trying to get them to do certain things. So it was a different kind of service to what I was used to in the West. But it was a good It was a good experience to have to stick to the order of the spiritual master. I would say my mind was somewhat disturbed to be in such unfamiliar circumstances. But Prabhupada was very insistent that you have to do this service. I wanted to go out for book distribution because I used to spend a lot of time distributing books when I was in England. And somehow this information came to Srila Prabhupada. So one day he asked me, "What do you like better, book distribution or temple management?" So I said, "Book distribution, Srila Prabhupada." So he said, "All right." He said, "You manage this temple for some time." He said, "Then," and I was thinking, "Book distribution, go in the streets, you know, Harinam, we'll sell some books, you know, small books." But Prabhupada said, "You manage this temple for some time, and then I will teach you personally how to distribute books by going to all the libraries and universities and selling sets of my books." So this was a new concept for me. Of course, we did have the library party come to England when I was in Berry Place Temple. Our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was then known as Ghanasham, and Kalakanta Prabhu, they had come and they were selling books there in the various universities, but I never went out with them, so I didn't have any experience. I didn't know when that would happen, that Prabhupada would show me how to do that. But sure enough, after a few months, some representatives of the library party came to India to begin the same work. And they asked me if I'd like to go, but I said, "I can't. Prabhupada has told me to stay here." Fortunately, there was one devotee, Australian devotee, that they recruited, Amoga Das, who was traveling with them, but he was married and his wife was staying at Hare Krishna Land, and she was not so happy to be left alone for so long. And Prabhupada told me, "If you can find someone to replace you, then you can go out for distributing books." So I approached him, Amoga Das, and proposed, "You manage the temple, I'll go with the library party." So he accepted. So in this way, I was able to get that opportunity to become a member of the library party, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who is the original library party distributor. And it was a service, actually, which Srila Prabhupada was very interested in. At first, it started from Mumbai, but then a Garga Muni Swami, he had brought some Mercedes vans from Europe, 6 vans. He was the then GBC of Calcutta and Mayapur. And he also knew of Prabhupada's desire to distribute books in the library, so he started his own library party. It was kind of in competition with the one from Mumbai. So then we decided, myself and Mahavishnu Swami, who had also come to stay in India, we decided to go there. Gopal Krishna Maharaj was not so happy. But anyway, we said, "We need vehicles to do this service. There are no vehicles available here in Mumbai. So please give us permission." Eventually, he agreed. So he went there, and then we had Mercedes van. So this was good facility. And gradually, more and more parties started. I think there were probably up to 5 parties traveling. Garga Muni himself had one van, and the rest of them were traveling distributing books to the libraries. So in this way we got the chance to go all over India, visit all the holy places practically, at the same time distribute books there. We distribute books in Dwarka, Udupi, Ayodhya, so many holy places. It was a real adventure. And every 5-6 weeks, the parties would come together. Wherever Prabhupada was, in those times, he was staying mainly in India. 76, 77. So we would meet him in different places: Delhi, Vrindavan, Hyderabad, Bhubaneswar, Calcutta. And Prabhupada, he took a great interest. He would call the library party distributors into his room and hear from them, how many sets of books have you sold? And especially, what are the scholars saying about my books? Because at the same time, in America, there was a big attack on our movement, deprogrammers. There were court cases in various places in America trying to discredit ISKCON as a brainwashing cult. So Prabhupada, he wanted to garner support from all kinds of scholars and respectable persons to counteract this propaganda. So we had to collect book reviews and statements about ISKCON from as many scholars as possible. So Prabhupada would always ask us, call us in his room and ask us, please read out, what are the scholars saying? So in this way, he took a very personal interest in the activities of the library party. He wanted to see how his books were being appreciated and accepted. And practically everywhere we went, there was great appreciation for the work that Srila Prabhupada was doing and for the scholarly way in which he was presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books. So, thus we could get the opportunity to render some service to Srila Prabhupada. So, all of us get strength from his wonderful example, how he practiced Krishna consciousness with great determination, and how he preached with great determination. Even though there were so many attacks on ISKCON in those days, Prabhupada took it in his stride as a great challenge. He was always ready for a good fight, just like in Mumbai also, with Mr. Nair, that person who sold the Juhu property to us, to ISKCON, and then took the down payment and then tried to weasel out of the deal. He'd done it before to someone else, or maybe even a couple of times, and gotten away with it. Took away their deposit, didn't sell the land. So he tried to do the same thing with Srila Prabhupada, but Prabhupada outmaneuvered him. Even though at one stage, when Prabhupada was out of India, the devotees gave up and they thought this place, Juhu's too far away from the center. We should have a place in the center of Mumbai. When Prabhupada heard of this, he was furious. And he came back to rally the troops. And of course, ultimately, he was successful. Mr. Nair passed away during the battle. Once Prabhupada said, a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, will I be able to go back to Godhead, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada answered, yes, you will go, and this devotee will go, and that devotee will go, and the other devotee will go, and we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. He said, but Mr. Nair, he cannot go. So he passed away. So finally his wife, you know, Mrs. Nair, she relented. She signed over the property. And, you know, she was crying and Prabhupada was comforting her. You were just like my daughter. And then after, when she went out of the room, Prabhupada said it was a good fight. So he enjoyed a good battle for Krishna. And similarly, he took it when there were so many opponents in the Western world. This is a sign that our Krishna consciousness movement is having effect. They are feeling the weight of this movement, Prabhupada said. So in this way, preaching was very much a part of Srila Prabhupada's sadhana, we can say, of his practice of Krishna consciousness. And it's very important for all of us to keep this in mind. Definitely, chanting Hare Krishna is the most important activity. We must do it as often and as attentively as possible, both japa and kirtan. Kirtan, in fact, Sankirtan is especially important. That is the Yuga Dharma. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Sankirtan is the king of sadhana, and all other forms of sadhana are meant to support this king of sadhana. So all these activities are very important, and we must practice them and simultaneously do something practical to serve the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada didn't want us to simply stay home and chant Hare Krishna, or just stay in Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. Although some devotees are doing that, performing kirtan in the holy dams, and that's also preaching because so many people are attracted to hear. But just living in a solitary place and chanting, that was not recommended by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or by Srila Prabhupada. They recommended that devotees should engage with the world and make the world Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada liked that mood, and he was very practical. He wanted to see the devotees be practical. There's a nice story about Vishal Prabhu. We saw him in Mayapur a few days back. Actually, Vishal Prabhu he had a very significant role to play in bringing me to Krishna consciousness. I was relating to Radhanath Maharaj how I'd gotten a Gita in Montreal and seen devotees in New York, gotten a Back to Godhead from them. And the devotee asked me, please come to our temple. And I said, I can't, I'm going to London tonight on the plane. He said, go to the temple in London. So after a couple of days, I went to the temple in London. And when I went to a temple, it was lunchtime. Devotees gave me prasad, and after prasad, they said, time for Sankirtan. So he went out on Harinam Sankirtan for a few hours. And then in the evening, he heard Prabhupada lecture. And then the devotees told me, come back again tomorrow. I came after a couple of days. It was a Sunday feast. When I came into the hallway of the temple, Vishal Prabhu was there. And he had one of those big Krishna books. They'd just been published. So he thrust it into my hand. And he said, it's a very auspicious day to take this book. The spiritual master is going to speak tonight. So I said, how much? He said, £2.50. So I opened my wallet and I gave him a £5 note. He said, hold on a minute, I'll bring the change. He came back with another second volume. He said, why don't you take both volumes for £5? I said, all right. I said, anyway, you can take my wallet and whatever's in it. I gave him the wallet. So he went downstairs and he came back with the wallet. He gave it back, minus the money, of course. He said, we don't use leather here. Anyhow, he engaged me in purchasing my first big books, Krishna conscious books. I had purchased a couple of magazines before that. And that night, the devotees invited me to stay in the temple, and I stayed in the temple ever since. Anyhow, Vishal Prabhu, there's a humorous story. He is a very bold person. Many of us, we are very shy to, approach Prabhupada or talk to Prabhupada. But he had no such reservation. He would go in Prabhupada's room and talk, converse with Prabhupada without any fear. One morning, Prabhupada was coming out for his morning walk. And you know how early in the morning they clean the pathways around the Krishna Balaram Mandir. He's coming out from his house. And Vishal Prabhu was standing with his arms folded. We think that we have met your grace by the will of providence. You know that verse from the first chapter of the Bhagavatam? Just to accept you as captain of the ship for those who are desirous to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali. Anyway, he got as far as the word providence. We think we have met your grace by the will of providence. And Prabhupada tapped on the ground with his cane. There was a puddle of water. It hadn't been cleaned away. Is this the will of providence? No, Srila Prabhupada. It's my fault. It's my fault. Prabhupada said, do something practical. Clean it up. So Prabhupada liked to see that we engage in practical devotional service, work hard in the service of Krishna. We have a very specific goal and mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, as per the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, if we engage in this service to the Sankirtan movement, this will help to give us determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. And it will help us also to engage our mind and senses fully and not be distracted by the allurements of Maya, which are so numerous in this age of Kali. So it's very wonderful to see how you all have developed this temple and community of devotees under the guidance and inspiration of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. So many of you are finding satisfaction, deep satisfaction, in your practice of Krishna consciousness and in your relationships with one another. This is a great inspiration and example for the whole of ISKCON, and in many countries, devotees are endeavoring to implement the same principles that you are practicing here. So I thank you very much for your kind hospitality and for your wonderful example, and wish you all success in expanding Krishna consciousness more and more throughout Mumbai and Maharashtra, all of India, and all over the world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj ki, Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi.
Let us offer our sincerest gratitude to Maharaj. through this beautiful narration, we have learned so much. Amongst things, how much Nam Sankirtan pleases His Holiness Prabhu-Vishnu Swami Maharaj. For His pleasure, let us dance and chant with great enthusiasm and devotion.